Okay. Hopefully you have your sheets. The back of the sheet that's the whole topic is a poetic perspective, and we've gotten through the book of Job, and we're starting on Psalms, and we'll move on later to Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Songs, and to complete this particular topic called a prophetic perspective on those books. And so I encourage you to have your handout, the back side of the handout, and I'll just briefly once again go over, you know, the outline here and kind of how I've approached this to put it on one page. And then talk a little bit about how I've chosen certain psalms or a verse in a psalm to emphasize. And of course, we also have here, some have divided the psalms, and you may see that in your Bibles, into five books, five. Well, in my Bible, it's called Book 1. We're starting with right here today with Psalm 1, Book 1. And Book 1 goes from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41. So the first 41 psalms of the psalms is recorded as this book. Some have related the five books here that are talked about in Psalms to perhaps some connection to the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. It's not that they are, but it's a way to kind of emphasize certain aspects of God's plan. And so generally I've defined the different books as Book 1 that we're starting on today, chapters 1 to 41. Somewhat similar to Genesis, the beginnings. And a name given for it that I've listed there is human frailty. A lot of the Psalms here relate to that topic. And then Book 2, which we'll go on to, is Psalms 42 to 72, 31 in Psalms there. And that's generally connected, similar to Exodus, the second book of the Bible, the deliverance. God delivered his people out of captivity. And so the deliverance psalms are part of Book 2, which are 31 psalms from 42 to 72. And then the third book, which would be comparative to Leviticus. Leviticus is the third book of the Bible, and probably one of the, if you start reading Leviticus as the first book you read in the Bible, you'll probably give up. So don't give up, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. But if you're not familiar with what was going on back then, it may be kind of dry. But Leviticus is the third book and 17 psalms, and sometimes referred to as the sanctuary. And so when we understand Leviticus and the descriptions in the book of Leviticus, and as we see some of the psalms here in Book 3, we see that God's purpose is to take us into the sanctuary. And, many of you have maybe been part of my teachings on the tabernacle, the tabernacle study. And the tabernacle study is so, I just think, so enlightening. It's just so eye-opening to all the reasons God instructed Moses to do what he did there on Mount Sinai, to bring it down and then to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, and all the different intricacies of the tabernacle. So Leviticus gives us kind of a picture of understanding the sanctuary. that God wanted to reside with his people. And he literally did. He came down in a glory cloud and would reside in that tabernacle. And so we can kind of keep that in mind as we get to that third book, the 17 chapters we call it the sanctuary, or the book of Leviticus. So then the fourth book is the 17 Psalms also, from Psalm 90 to 106. And Numbers, as we know in the Torah, the Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible, is kind of a lot of numbers. And so Numbers is the name of the book. And so it describes in some fashion the reign of God. And so some of these Psalms will give us more insight into the reign of God and his purpose. And then the last book in the Psalms is the last 44 Psalms, from 107 to 150. And that's similar to Deuteronomy. And we know Deuteronomy is where God left his word with his people through Moses and on to Joshua to tell them how they now should live, how they should live, how they should operate. And so Deuteronomy is the word of God. And so we'll see in these chapters of Psalms, we'll see a lot of meaning in the word of God, actually the Hebrew words. And so, for example, when I get to Psalm 119, I'll probably spend a little time on that. Way back when I first came to Kingsway, which was the original church here, and we were downtown at 6th and Capitol, I taught on it down there, the Psalm 119, because you can take every section of Psalm 119. There are 22 sections, and each one starts with a Hebrew character, the Hebrew alphabet. And so there's a lot of meaning in it, and so there's a lot of ways you can study the Psalms and be enriched by how God put so much in these words. And maybe give you, I'm not saying everybody to learn Hebrew, but just get an appreciation of the Hebrew language, because it's a very picturesque language. And when we get to Psalm 119, I'll spend a little time on that, because each of the 22 sections of Psalm 119 represent each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and each line of those eight verses of each section start with that letter in the Hebrew alphabet, starting from the Aleph and the Beit and so forth, as I have this chart up here. So we'll save that for later, but I just want to kind of prepare you for some of the things that I want to talk about. And of course, two weeks ago, and I'm just going to only briefly bring it up today, but 2 weeks ago, I started talking about how the Psalms became personally important to me, because it was something that I fell back upon when my father was in the hospital dying with heart failure, and I had the opportunity to witness to him or share with him as he was going through that process to the time of death. And some of these Psalms just, I wrote down the Psalms that I covered with him. So anyway, so it has some personal meaning for me, and hopefully maybe through your readings and study and so forth, there's personal meanings that you've come across in your study of Psalms. So please share. I guess I'm asking you to share as you are moved, or whatever you might want to do, or some suggestions if you want to read. If I don't cover a whole psalm and you think we should, then we'll do that. And, and maybe share in the reading or whatever of it. So anyway, let's start out by kind of giving you the overview, and we'll dig into that a little bit more as we go through. But we're going to start this morning with the first two psalms. They're pretty short, and I'm going to go ahead and read each of those psalms in its totality, and then talk about it. Because the first two psalms, as you see on the outline, again, if you follow this, I tried to identify the author of each of the psalms, and you'll see that the David is credited with reading almost half of the psalm, of the 150 psalms. And so in this first section, 37 of the 41 psalms are credited to David. And so as we start the reading, the first two psalms are not. So they're an unknown author. And so we'll read those first, but I think they have a lot of meaning in and of themselves, and so we'll talk briefly about that as we read it. So let's get started, and then we'll just see where we go, and by all means stop me or if you want to add something to the discussion, by all means let's do it. So let's work through this together. Okay, so I'm just going to read. There's six verses in Psalm 1. And I think when we really reflect upon this, it's a pretty meaningful psalm that we begin with. Because it says, blessed. A blessing comes first thing. Blessed is the man, is the person, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. I think that's pretty understandable. We're to avoid wickedness. We're to stay away from wickedness. So don't fall for the counsel of the wicked. And that can be hard. That can be very hard in our times and in everything that's put before our eyes and understanding. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You know, that's why you see a lot of the Jewish boys who have to memorize a lot of the, not only the Psalms, but a lot of the Torah and everything. You'll see them rocking and studying. You know, it's a process of memorizing and repeating and growing in their understanding. So, but his delight is in the law of the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then verse 3, it's a comparison. He who does that is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So, you know, we know in the survival, in our life, whatever, how important water is, the very sustenance of life. You know, God has given us water, and so for the trees, for the plants, for the animals, for all things, this is a reminder that if you really want to grow and feed off of God's word and understanding, you plant yourself by the streams of water. Let the water of the word wash you, feed you. And so that's a synonym to the tree being planted by streams of water and yields fruit. And so if you want to produce fruit, feed the tree, feed the source. So, and then verse 4, it says, not so the wicked. And what are the wicked described as? The next verse. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. So if you aren't grounded, if you aren't your feet on solid ground and understanding, planted in the Word, you are often easy for you to be taken away, blown away. So chaff is that picture of the part of wheat or the harvest that kind of is just has no value to it. It's just blown away. And so the wicked are described like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So if your feet are on solid ground, grounded in the Lord's way, you will stand with the righteous. The Lord watches over them, over us. But the way of the wicked will perish. So the difference between being grounded in God's way versus so many other alternatives that are out there, the world's way. And so this psalm, I think, starts us off in the book of Psalms and gives us a pretty good starting point to focus on. And so that's Psalm 1. Psalm 2 goes on, and I think it's 12 verses. So let me read that one too, because there's some things there that we can elaborate on. Starts with a question. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? You think that's relevant in our time right now? Any of you are watching the news and watching all the confusion and wickedness that's being promoted, and you know the anti-Semitism that's going on in the universities and back east particularly. You know, it just tells you we're in trying times, very trying times, but we need to reflect upon who we stand for and how we make our stand. So why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Here's a reference, and hopefully in all your Bibles, anointed one is capitalized, because it does point to the anointed one who will be or would be Jesus Christ. And so it's a reference to the Messiah that is to come. And so anointed one points that out. It's the one from God who is his own son who will come. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one, again, one is capitalized there, so clearly a reference to God himself on the throne of heaven. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king. King is capitalized there. Which again is a reference to the future coming of Jesus Christ, his son. And he will be installed, is installed in a spiritual sense even now, but he will come in a physical sense when he rules and reigns. I have installed my king on Zion, that's the holy mount in Jerusalem, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Capital S. Again, reference to Jesus, the Son of God. Today I have become your father. So God the Father and his Son. Ask of me, verse 8, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, worldly kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth who think you're in charge. Serve the Lord Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Fear and trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So that's how the book of Psalms begins. And I think it's worth reflecting on and continuing to turn back to, and the blessings and the promises. So we see the promise of the Messiah right there, right here in chapter 2 of the book of Psalms, the anointed one. God promises he's coming and he is going to be king and he is going to rule from Zion on God's holy hill. And so that's all right there, a package for us in the book of Psalms. So. All right, then we're going to move on to chapter 3, which is Psalm 3. And this is where the Psalms of David begin. I think the next from 3 to 9 are all Psalms of David. And I'm just going to kind of briefly describe them. The short ones I'll read through. The long ones I'll kind of select a verse or so. And then you can complete the reading for yourself. And if you have questions or comments to make, you can come back with them and share them either at the time we read them or later. So, but let's look at Psalm. This, my footnote in my Bible below Psalm 3 says that the Psalm of David, and they believe it was connected, that David wrote this when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. And so take that into consideration. If you've studied the history, Bible history, you'll see that David had some real issues with his children, and we know that. So, so it starts with, O Lord, and again, that's Yahweh, personal name of God. How many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord Yahweh. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord Yahweh I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. Once again, pointed to the holy hill in Jerusalem. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord Yahweh. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord Yahweh comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. So,
I've been praying for your enemies.
Yeah. So deliverance is the key word there that I chose, and it's emphasized there in verse 8. From the Lord comes deliverance. If we're seeking deliverance from something, whether it's enemies, whether it's bad habits, whatever we may be dealing with in our life, we need to seek deliverance and give them up to the Lord. Pray against them. Pray for deliverance, and the Lord promises to come. May your blessing be on your people. So, okay, Psalm 4, and I chose, you know, just for the verse that I wanted to emphasize is verse 2. Now, when I was going through these at one point in time, I was dealing with a personal situation, and I was kind of following how many times that phrase, how long, was questioned. How long, O Lord? And I'm sure we've all gone through life's experience, difficult times, where how long until we get answers? How long until we get relief? How long till we get healing? How long? You know, and so it's a natural human instinct to ask that question. So, all right. So let me read Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. That's pretty in his face, right? If you go to God and say, okay, God, answer me. But he was emphatic about it, and his heart was hurting, and he wanted an answer, and he wanted God's help. Oh, my righteous God, he gives him the credit of being the righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Nothing wrong with that. When we go through times of great distress and anxiety and issues that we don't know we're ever going to get through it, it should always begin with a word of prayer and calling upon the Lord. And recognize him as the righteous one who will bring us relief if it's in his will. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. And then verse 2, and that's the one that I selected. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? This is the Lord speaking. How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. I don't know how many of you spend time that way, whether you before you fall asleep or just in a time of great distress, and just, you know, call upon the Lord from where you are, whether it's on the bed or on your knees, you know, out doing something, and something comes to mind, just cry out to the Lord. And so the Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord, Yahweh. Many are asking, who can show us any good? You know, sometimes we look around, everything's going on in the world, all this chaos and hatred, you know, you can't help but ask that question, you know. Many are asking, who can show us any good? And we know the Lord can and does and will. Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. In other words, absorb the light of God, Yahweh, himself, and let your face shine and show your faith and belief. In verse 7, you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So maybe that's a good psalm that you could read when you're really struggling, really troubled, and don't know where to turn. Just rely, I will lie down and sleep, and let the Lord bring peace upon you. Sleep in peace. Because he alone, God alone, can make it happen. Make me dwell in safety. So, that sense of security, that sense of safety, which we all go through some difficult times, whether we're fearful of something or somebody or something, you know, something we have to go through. This is a good psalm to reflect upon. So, okay. Psalm 5, and I selected verse 8 as the one verse I wanted to emphasize. And I'll read the whole thing. Let's see, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'll read the whole thing, and then I'll go back to verse 8 and reemphasize that. So, give ear to my words, O Lord, Yahweh. Consider my sighing. I don't know about you. How many times do you find yourself just kind of sighing during the day? Particularly when it's a struggle. You know, struggle to do something, get something done. It's not going well. Oh, man. So I think those words are meaningful to me. I think pointing back to me. Listen to my cry for help. My king, recognizing who is king. And my God, he's both king and God. For to you I pray. That's where we direct our prayer. In the morning, it's good in the morning to do that. O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. And don't let anybody tell you that God brings evil. Yeah, he may allow evil to penetrate your sphere, if you will, as a test, but he's not the one that brings it. It's the enemy that brings it. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men, the Lord Yahweh abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house in reverence. Will I bow down toward your holy temple? Lead me, O Lord Yahweh, in your righteousness, because of my enemies, make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord Yahweh, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Yeah, so I selected verse 8 as kind of something to emphasize. And I think that's a plea, a cry that we can pray and ask the Lord, lead me. When you don't know where to go, what to do, where does your help come from? Turn to the Lord. Lead me, O Lord Yahweh, in your righteousness, because he will not lead you astray. He will not lead you into evil, into danger, but he will lead you to his way, which is righteousness. The plumb line. Because of my enemies, make straight your way before me. And so that's the verse out of that psalm that I kind of just selected for myself as a reminder. So, okay, let's Let's do chapter or Psalm 6, and we'll see if we stop there or can get one more after that. Psalm 6. O Lord, again, that's Yahweh, personal name of God. Do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord Yahweh, for I am faint. O Lord, here's the third Yahweh, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. And then this verse, and I think that's the one I chose, because again, that phrase, how long, O Lord, how long? And I know in my journey and things I've gone through, that was something that I put a sign in my yard about it. So that term has been used often to want justice, to want answers, to want fulfillment, completion, to make it right, to make it known. But to this point, the answers haven't fully come. So that continues to be, a cry. And so that verse 3, my soul is in anguish, how long, O Lord, how long? And that's what I chose for Psalm 6. Turn, O Lord, and deliver me, save me, because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave. I am worn out from groaning all night long. I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil. For the Lord Yahweh has heard my weeping. The Lord, again, Yahweh, has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. A word of David written from the heart, asking for God's help in his time of great distress and trouble. So I think we'll stop there. I know you. Some need to pray before our service, and so we'll stop there for today. Continue to read ahead or to read on your own. If you don't mind doing it, I would really like to see if you'd put a note for yourself on certain psalms, and if you don't want to bring it up in the group, why that's meaningful or important to you. I'd like to know personally if you feel like you want to share it with somebody. It's always kind of helpful to share what you see in the Word, what has either encouraged you or caused you to stop and reflect, whatever. And so the Psalms are meant for that purpose, and they have, obviously, they've had a lot of meaning for me through the years, and I've taught on them before, but I think it's important to reflect upon what they're telling you right now, in your life right now. So let's conclude with prayer, prepare ourselves for our time of worship. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us to be coming to this place and to study your word. We thank you for this study that you've directed us to, going through the totality of your word to grow in our understanding of the Psalms that you inspired men like David to write in their times of distress, trouble, good times, bad times, whatever the situation was. So we thank you for these writings and how they can speak to us into our lives and into our times and encourage us to continue on our way, guided by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide us to where you want us to go and what you want us to do with what we're dealing with. So we thank you for the opportunities you give us. We thank you for all your word. And we now lift up our prayers for our time of worship. We pray for a blessing upon the people, all the people who come into this place, wherever they may be in their life, in their own personal struggles, in their joys, in their difficulties. We just pray, Lord, that they can come into this place and experience either greater joy and leave here determined to make a difference out there in the world. So we thank you, Lord, ahead of time for what people will experience in our worship service. We pray for each part of it. We pray for the prayers that will be lifted up and answered. We pray for the music that will be played and sung. We pray for the time of communion, and also we pray for the message that Raymond will share with us in his continuing dialogue. And so we thank you for all that you have prepared for us this day and the people who will come into this place. We just ask for a blessing on each one, and those who may listen in as well would hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.